some traits are seen as positive, like perfectionism and people pleasing, but actually they're really negative to you. So were you brought up in an environment where you were only praised when you did, good things, and then you might have then you're this overachiever because you're like, I need to do this, I need to do this, or I need to be seen, like all of those
I think
things.
it's really good to address like all of these and just even if it's just to understand them, like even just to kind of go, okay, I am a people pleaser. It's a gift and a curse. It's something that I'm aware of. It's something that I'm working on. But in a way, perhaps it's something that we embrace. Like we almost have to embrace our weaknesses and make peace with them
Absolutely, yeah.
sometimes.
Welcome back to the Going In Deep podcast. We hope this episode finds you well. This, of course, is a continuation of the conversation between Ollie and Elizabeth Waggett, the hugely talented, successful, and most importantly, thought-provoking artist. And with both artists in their own right, exploring how it is they got to where they are, how they find their different angles to create their passion, part one of this conversation certainly is worth going back and reviewing. But if you're here for the remainder and part two of this conversation, then you're in for a treat. Get ready for some more conversation about how environment is really important to build what it is that they're doing. How both Ollie and Elizabeth use intrigue, but also Elizabeth shares with us some more difficult moments which she's luckily been able to overcome. They also touch a bit about business and entrepreneurship, so it's really not one to be missed. Anyway, enough from me. Let's dive back into the conversation.
One of the things that we wanted to speak about today, which I know is an important one for yourself, is that obviously was it last year that you went on a whole journey in terms of getting yourself back to where you are now, and so I just wanted to touch on that really, just as however you want to.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, and I've got plenty of time, by the
Okay, perfect.
way.
Because we are doing an hour in already.
You might have to split this up, but find
Oh, well,
the
that's it.
pearl.
True.
So last year, sadly, I had a major accident and that left my legs paralyzed, and it was a big shock, obviously. And at the same time, I also had my daughter as well, so I think that sort of added to it. And it was funny, me and my husband were talking about it because it's just about a year ago today that I think we just about exhausted every of the top doctors. We'd paid thousands and thousands of dollars to go and see all the, the
No
best,
way.
best in the world. We're lucky that we live in Houston, which is the biggest medical center in the world. So it's kind of a mecca for doctors. So the best doctors in the world for cancer, for everything are there. So we've gone and seen, the best back surgeon and neurologists, like all of these people, and every single one said it is very unlikely that you'll walk again.
I can't
So
imagine what that must feel like being told that. Like my uncle was paralyzed from the waist down, and he was told that, and he made a full recovery. And not only did he walk, but he managed to kind of run, you know. So it's like you do hear about these situations, but I cannot imagine how what you went through at that point.
It was a very, very, very traumatic. And I think coinciding with being a new mum as well, because I didn't really care about me. It was a weird feeling. I just thought, just kept thinking, I'm never going to be able to hold a hand. And I couldn't get up. I couldn't get up to change it. I couldn't get up to go to her. And I know you're new parents, so you understand that need of just like your
I
whole
do.
body has this visceral reaction when you hear them crying. I couldn't get up, and I'm
Yeah, that's so
smacking my
true.
husband, go get him. And so it was a very, very hard time, but there wasn't really any doubt in my mind. I was like, this isn't
This
my
isn't gonna happen.
story. Even if it
I
was
love that.
a positive, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. That it was like no fucking way, don't tell me that. Like, but of course I was like on the floor most days crying and thinking this is going to be
But even when you
bad.
were crying on the floor, at the rock bottom, you could call it, even at those points, you were still like, no way, this is going to be like, this is not
It
me.
still felt, because when you have like someone who's an expert tell you that, you really do believe them, but it still felt like it was just not true. Maybe it was a bit of the, so I'm still doing like CBT therapy, so cognitive behavioral therapy, to try and change those thoughts, and I can say that I think I've made like a full recovery to that. Because even now, I'm not fully mobile, if you like. I'm not not fixed at all. I'm probably 70% of the way there, so I can walk, amazing, and that's though. A joy. I'm so happy with that.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a very slow recovery now. And
I'm
in my head sometimes, you know, I'll be coming down the stairs and I nearly fall or whatever, and I think, fuck, what if I don't get better? And then I think, yeah, I'm getting better. Shut up. Like, you know.
Every day. So it's like telling your mind, like, no, don't even go there.
Yeah.
With yourself.
And so, yeah. So even when I was on the floor, I was just thinking, like, how, I mean, things happen in life. And I think you get to our age, and I don't think you get to our age without going through some life-changing trauma, if, you know, unless you're exceptionally lucky. But
lucky, yeah, exactly.
Honestly, Ollie, it was such a huge experience to me that I almost wouldn't change it now, because it's changed.
It's so
the
interesting
way
that
I
you said that. You
everything.
Literally, I was just thinking that I heard this recently. Most people, when they've been through a traumatic experience in their life, if you were to ask them, would you change it if you could, or if you could go back in time and it didn't happen, most of them will say no. It's kind of made me who I am.
It's made me a better person for sure.
Right? Really.
Yeah,
so do you think you've seen changes in yourself, or at least in your perspective or outlook on life?
Yes, 100%. I think I was like, go all the time, and like just like hustling and not stopping to smell the roses. That's part of the reason we're here in France, because France is such this beautiful country.
Beautiful.
And it's like almost too much for your eyes. I was like, my eyes hurt. There's too much beauty.
Wow.
But we came here because it's always been a dream of mine. And when that happened, I was just like, we have to make this happen. So once I got to a point where, because obviously it's like cobbly and old and the stairs and no handrails.
It looks absolutely
stunning. So I had to get to a point where I could do those things. So we're here, and you know, just like, why not? Why, like, stop waiting? Life is happening right now.
Yeah.
It's also made me a lot more patient with myself. I used to like have conversations with myself where I'd be like, oh, if, you know, if I'm not doing anything, you're
like
lazy.
Self-sabotage,
yeah,
beat yourself up.
Yeah. Self-loathing.
And now you're appreciating yourself and actually taking the little wins and giving yourself a bit of a pat on the back. That's what we all should do, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the other thing it's done, and I would really recommend, I know it can be a bit of a taboo subject even now, therapy, and I will sing from the rooftops about therapy.
It's something that people seem to speak more openly about. It's great to hear you talking about it.
Yeah, and maybe I wouldn't if I hadn't gone through that trauma and I was going through therapy. Maybe I'd be worried about, you know, apart from telling my close friends or something, but no.
So even without what you'd been through, do you think it was a good thing? It would have been a good thing to have therapy anyway. Everyone needs it.
Everybody should need therapy. Because what it's done, actually, is now I'm over that trauma, it's actually brought up lots of other things that I need to deal with. From childhood and that sort of thing, you know. So now we're working through that.
Wow.
And because we, you know, and that's another thing I was thinking about talking to you, is about like how we're shaped from childhood and parents. And, you know, your family is, and I know all family have their issues, but your family is like the dream family. I mean, you're all bloody beautiful. You know, you should be in a magazine, but you literally look, and you're all so happy and lovely. And, you know, I've met you all and you're all lovely people. Obviously, families all have their difficulties and things like that, so I understand that. But you're literally like the dream family. Now, I don't have that at all. My family's an absolute wreck, and my husband's family isn't great either. And so, you know, I don't mean that from my perspective. I just mean that there's things going on there, you know, issues.
Families have things going on. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but we don't have that close knit. I'm very close with my sister, but we don't have that really, really close knit, you know, thing going on.
Okay.
And I think in some ways, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent now.
No, this is fascinating, because what you're talking about here is what you've gone through in the therapy, what stuff has come out as a result. Yeah,
and I think that's made it easier for me to be able to travel and be the person I am, because I think if I had this like nuclear family, maybe I wouldn't have left Manchester.
Well, it's true, because I mentioned before how I would have loved to go and move to LA, but actually I can't leave my family, so that's the truth, like that is the
but that's
reality.
Lovely, isn't it, that you have that?
It is, but then I guess you could look at both sides as a gift and a curse, you know, the experiences that you've had, and the places that you've experienced and seen, that is an incredible thing. So I guess, you know, you have to take, and I always say, don't compare yourself to other people, be inspired by other people, but don't compare yourself. And I think comparison, it's been said so many times, but comparison is the thief of joy. You know, there's pros and cons to every situation.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, I think we're very like-minded in that respect. Like we take the positives that we, from our situation.
Exactly. And like, that idea of family is changed so much. You know, I have my family now, you know, that's my little unit. And, you know, me and my husband,
amazing,
like at Christmas and stuff, we sit and laugh. We just like, you know, we're like, we'll see people's photos and we're like, oh, that'd be nice.
Oh yeah.
And then we're like, no, actually it'd be a nightmare if we were with our family. So let's just like, we just have a little laugh, you know, you turn it into a positive.
Just a quick Skype. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Phew. So we've had, but going back to therapy, like, you know, bringing up like childhood issues, and you were saying, you know, about things that maybe have said, been said to you in school and how deep that is your first experience of that. So if somebody says something like that to you now, you know how to deal with it. But that one, we can all think of somebody that said something to us in school that had this moment, and going back and dealing with that, you'd be surprised by how that's affected you, and whether that's made you a perfectionist or a people. So some traits are seen. I mean, I am not a therapist. Please go and get therapy and see a professional. But some traits are seen as, you know, positive, like perfectionism and people pleasing. But actually, they're really negative to you. So were you brought up in an environment where you were only praised when you did, you know, good things? And then you might have, then you're this overachiever because you're like, I need to do this, I need to do this, or I need to be seen, you know? Like all of those.
I think it's really good to address like all of these, and just even if it's just to understand them, like even just to kind of go, okay, I am a people pleaser. It's a gift and a curse. It's something that I'm aware of. It's something that I'm working on. But in a way, perhaps it's something that we embrace. Like we almost have to embrace our weaknesses and make peace with them sometimes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the next step, I think what I would say to anybody, I think the next step for me, that, you know, my current counselor, Dr. Linda Thompson, she's amazing, but she very much deals with big traumas, PTSD, those sorts of things. And so once I'll probably always speak to her throughout my life, because these things come up, and you know, I've been diagnosed with PTSD, and like so those things I have to deal with. But the next step for me, I think, is to find somebody who's like who has the background in counseling, you know, has qualifications, but also is perhaps more of a coach. So you can come to them with your business preparate, you know, ideas and things that. And then they can coach you through that. But they'll also understand where, if you are being overly perfectionist or overly, you know, hustling or whatever, where that comes from. So I think therapy is brilliant and very underrated. So,
very interesting. And actually not something that we've spoken about on the Going In Deep podcast before. So you've opened up a new portal into that dimension.
But what you are doing is kind of therapy, you know, and I noticed that when I listen, I actually noticed that more so with Ben. I think Ben is very much, I think, if I may say, I think from what it feels like when you're having these conversations, is that Ben's still absorbing all of that, and he's still on his journey. We're all still on a journey, but he's still definitely absorbing all that. And you feel like you're into that next step or next stage.
Right. Okay. That's interesting.
So you feel like, to me, it feels like you're more like the person who can bring that out of people.
That's interesting. So so the fact that we've not mentioned therapy is quite
But that is your
it's
therapy.
Weird really when it's like kind of is. So are you saying that I'm a bit like the therapist, or
I would say so you allow a space for people to talk about their ideas, definitely. I think you're very good at bringing that out, but also relating that to your own experiences as well, and that's how you feed off people, because you are somebody who gives a lot. You can tell that.
Right. I love these observations. It is like literally so interesting listening to your perspective on me and my behavior and the way I communicate. Because I think like, you know, communication is such a powerful tool that we all have, and it can lead you to many places. It can open up so many doors, opportunities, and you can meet such interesting people. My New Year's resolution, I think you asked me earlier about the any particular exercises that I use.
Yeah.
And I think
sorry, going off on tangents.
No,
tell
it's all
me,
good.
Yeah.
It's all sparks of energy and you know, what came to my mind was my New Year's resolution was to be more curious. And I don't know whether you've heard me say that before or not, but I think I've realized this year the power of asking questions. And I am so very interested in people because I learn from people. Like I learn from the conversations that I have. Mm. And I suppose I learn from the answers that people give me when I ask those questions. So to be more curious, it to me means kind of just being more open and having the confidence to be interested in people, to ask the questions so that I can, you never know what answers you'll get back when you ask questions. And then you can, for me, learning about other people helps me to learn more about life, about myself, helps me to think in different ways. So you know,
well,
that's,
you're
that's
an energy giver, you know, you radiate that energy. Do you ever feel depleted when you've been around people?
I usually feel very kind of charged when I've been around people. I guess that's probably
depending on the people.
The people, yeah, exactly. That's probably a sign that I'm surrounding myself with the right people.
Right people,
So that's good. That's good. That's good.
Like I'll get a lot of energy from this today. I will be absolutely pumped. I had
a good conversation.
A great conversation the other day with my good artist friend Lyle Awerko, and we were just talking. Right. And every time I got off the phone with him, I feel pumped.
Love it.
But there's certain people I get. Like I think I'm an introverted extrovert. Introvert. I don't know.
Right.
But I can. Mm-hmm. People can suck the energy out of me, and I'm such an empath. I'm so empathetic. I don't know whether that, but to my detriment, and I need to learn to create a bubble, because if somebody is in my energy and is negative,
you need to protect your own energy. And I think you need to, I always say I'm responsible for my own energy that I put out, because if I'm going to be putting out negative energy, I can impact people negatively. And that has that negative knock-on effect. They're going to, that goes on and on. Whereas if I can control that and do the things that I need to do to be more positive, then I can have that positive impact on somebody else. So
you
I
are
do
human
feel,
and you are allowed to do that. But, I mean, you give,
I think don't, you,
you
know, somebody's
really
negative. I appreciate that. One of the things that I heard once is that you can't bring somebody up by being down, you know, like, so if they're down and negative, by going down to their level doesn't help them either, you know. So the best thing to do would be to stay where you are and wait for them to come and meet you. And if they don't, then I'm sorry, but you know, I think you attract the people that you, the energy that you put out.
So we, interestingly enough, we speak about this because we've lived all over the world. When people come to us, they tend to stay with us, and it's an unnatural environment. You know, your best mate's going to piss you off if they're with you for 24/7. You know, you're not used to it. You normally just go and hang out and have lunch and stuff like that. So
true.
I think those things have been way more obvious to me, like somebody being in my energy, and I'm sure them being in my energy and stuff like that. So that's something I've been thinking about a lot recently, because we've had quite a lot of visitors in France as well.
Yeah.
And
you were saying
great to see people, but for the next month before we leave, no one's coming.
Going into lockdown.
I'm like, oh, I'm so done. Yeah. So
I love it.
That's lovely.
That's brilliant.
I'm just thinking if there's anything else I wanted to talk about. I've put vulnerability as well.
This has been great. I think the fact that we're, you know, that you said then you'll be charged from this conversation. This is a digital conversation. So I think the power of that, the world that we live in, you know, I had a meeting in Manchester yesterday and the train was cancelled because of strike. So I had to leave the platform and I went and found the nearest pub and I got on Zoom and we had a Zoom meeting instead. And although it's not quite the same, because I do need to go to this, it's a hotel in Manchester, to have a look around the venue for doing like public events and supplying them with chocolate. I'll still need to do that, but we did manage to have a great conversation, get to know each other. And you know, however many years ago, that wouldn't have been an option. It would have just been that meeting was cancelled, and we wouldn't have been able to do this. So there are pros and cons. Well, you know, you get your trolls and your keyboard warriors and a little bit of negativity.
I love that, keyboard warrior. I've never heard that before. I love that.
So you know, but there are positives like to take from this.
Negativity, like, I'm going to put you out of your comfort zone now.
Yeah, of course.
You are this happy, smiley, lovely person all the time. But tell me the worst things about Like, let's get really vulnerable. Tell me the hardest things and the worst things about your job, what you do. Like, tell me what are the things that get to you and why they get to you. Like, let's get deep on that.
Get deep on that. Sometimes for me, it's if I know that there's a higher version of myself, there's a bigger vibrating positive version that I'm trying to like step into that person. Okay. And if I can't, like, that's frustrating. So there are things that I do, like exercise, you know, running, gym class, like those sorts of things help me to be that person. But if I can't get into that rhythm, that vibration, that positivity, that annoys me. And I usually at that point struggle to get any momentum. So then I can lose focus and I can procrastinate. And I think, you know, I've got a list in my notes in my phone of people that I want to podcast with, people that I want to collaborate with on videos and video ideas and things that I want to make out of chocolate and business ideas and new businesses. And like, there's so much because my mind is constantly on the go. So I think sometimes when I don't feel like I'm being productive, from the moment I wake up in the morning to when I go to bed at night, I'm always, even in the evening, like trying to do something. I might be putting the notes in my phone for like my next LinkedIn post or whatever it is. And that's how I like to be. I like to be constantly firing and feeling like I'm always moving into that next level and like being a better version of me and just getting things done. So when I'm not that, when I'm struggling, I feel underproductive. And, you know, if business is quiet, like there was a time this year where the virtual events had come to more or less a standstill because they were super busy during COVID when I was sending kits out and doing Zooms with people in around the States and around the world. Then that stopped, which it naturally would as people started to go back to real life. But there was a lull between virtual and doing the kids' parties again. So to be totally vulnerable and honest and open about that, you know, there was a point where I was thinking, well, I'm doing Zooms to people out in the States, I'm doing corporate events and going on TV, I'm doing all this, and I've leveled up and I don't want to go back to what I was doing before. But then I realized that you got to realize that, you know, that was a period in time where it was so unusual that I can't rely on that business forever. My bread and butter has always been the kids' parties. So it felt a little bit like it was a step back at first because I thought I'd moved on. But then when I started to do it again, I realized how much I actually enjoyed it and how it actually helps me to sort of keep my pencil sharp and keep my practicing my craft in that I'm working with chocolate with the kids, but I'm also presenting. I'm always thinking of like new ideas of different things I can do to entertain them. So there was that point where I had to readjust. And I think that was probably harder than when I adjusted from doing the parties to like doing the virtual events. You know, when COVID happened and I thought, what am I going to do? It was a few days of down. My business had gone and then it was straight back. Sending out the kits and, you know, the virtual world kicked in. So yeah, it was harder this end, I think, kind of getting back into it. I went so hard on that answer that I've frozen Elizabeth Waggett. She is now a sculpture. She's turned into a piece of art. Don't know whether you can hear me. Funny, somebody's message saying, if you were given amount of £1,000, what would you do with it? Be honest. And I'd probably spend it on pizza. Oh my God. That's so funny. I'm going to see if Lizzie jumped back in. If not, I might have to outro. Sorry about that. I didn't realize you were in.
No, I came out and went back in again. So sorry about that.
Oh, brilliant.
So sorry, you were saying just about like getting back to sort of what you do, but it felt like a step back.
Yeah, it felt like it was a step back, but then I quickly realized that it wasn't, and that that was just the world that I had to go.
Yeah.
I wasn't going back into the old world because I was the new me. I suppose that was the key here, was that it was going doing something that I used to do but doing it differently because it's the new and new and improved me kind of thing. So the parties were, I wanted to make them more of an experience for the kids and not just chocolate making, but bringing them over here to see like my studio where I make videos and they're super impressed with that. So actually having that energy every week made me realize how much I did miss it and how much it did give me confidence and it gave me energy and gave me a boost. But there was a time where I was particularly concerned about money and what even is my business, because the virtual stuff had finished. Well, it's not complete. I am still doing some of the virtual events, but it wasn't like it was. And even when I first started up doing the kids' parties and things like that, again, it took a while, but I guess, you know, you can't take anything for granted. So it taught me, you know, you can't be complacent. You've got to keep working.
Yeah, in this world that we're in, this entrepreneurial world. And like you were talking about, like sort of, you touched on finances then as well. Like it is like that. It can be peaks and troughs, can't it? And I think we always, you know, we rise, but there are times where you think, oh, you know, like.
Yeah. And it can affect you. Like it can affect you mentally, can't it? Because, you know, you need that, like,
you're providing income for your family as well, you know, like that sort of thing. And both you and Kim are entrepreneurs as well, aren't you?
Yeah. So, yeah. It's not like we've got one of us with a fixed income. Both at it. So it's scary, but I feel really positive coming towards the end of the year, having built up the real life parties again. So I've got like the weekly events here, kids parties, but also schools during the week and the corporate events are on the top. Yeah. So it's it's a good end to the year, but it's definitely been a challenge. It's not been easy, but it's not for anybody.
There's definitely some books I can recommend to you as well that have really helped me. You might not be interested in them, but
no, that'd be good.
So we're kind of we might be getting off point of the podcast now, but
no. I think this is good for the podcast. Are there any recommendations that you've got, like for myself and for the listener?
Yeah, for sure. So one that I've read. Remember the title because it's in my head. I'm a big audiobook.
Me too.
But the guy is called, the author is called Daniel Priestley, and he actually he does courses as well. What's it called? Got no internet connection. It says so. Oversubscribed is the book by Daniel Priestley, and it's not an art book. You know, it's not something that I particularly was interested in. I'm not even sure how I came about it, but he's just kind of no nonsense and really it's just a really great one for entrepreneurs, and you should definitely have a read of
check
it.
So if you feel like you're thinking
about maybe doing a drop, that's sort of where I got those ideas from, is that book.
Oh, cool.
Just because you can't, especially if you are the brand, you know you're the key person of interest, like how do you you can't do everything all the time, so you have to be able to have like certain people doing certain
things. A bit of a structure to it.
Yeah, I find that really
definitely. I love that. Honestly, I've absolutely loved this conversation today. It's been so I knew it would be I suppose expectation versus reality, even though I expected it to be great, it's just ticked all the boxes. And then I hope that everybody will enjoy listening to this on the Going Into your time and energy and honesty.
Thank you.
And, I'm sure we'll get to do it again. Thank
you. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, it's been brilliant. And I'm looking forward just to seeing like where you go, because I feel like you're at this point where, you know, you're just, your energy is really, really resonating. So don't stop. You know, it's like,
oh, that's
good
to hear. Good to hear. And I do thrive off kind of hearing that of people, because obviously we all get negative thoughts, we all get moments of doubt and lack of self-belief. So I will.
Absolutely.
Elizabeth Waggett, my friend, it has been an absolute honor and a privilege to have you on the Going In Deep podcast. We will put the link to your Instagram and your contacts info below so people know where to find you, if that's okay.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's brilliant, Ollie. I've so enjoyed it. I've been looking forward to this conversation for ages, and I feel energized. So thank you so much.
We've charged each other ready for the day ahead. So bring it on. Have a great day over in France. Speak to you soon.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this second part of the two-part conversation with Ollie and Elizabeth. Remember that you can find links to Elizabeth's work, where you can follow her and the show on social media, all within the show notes. And it just leaves us to say thanks again for listening. And until next week, take care, and we can't wait to speak soon.